This is CliffCentral.com.
That jungle music.
That's what it is. Shout out to everybody in the building today. It's CliffCentral.com, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m.
You already
every
know.
Friday, No Borders with myself, Kamu Piri, Big Daddy Black, and Kev, the jet setter. Just fresh from Rwanda. What's good? What's up to everybody on live? I see my live people. Y'all here. We're going to work today. We working.
Oh, yeah. You live right now, man.
Yeah, I'm live.
Golly.
Yeah,
yeah, and we just, yo, that song, the 18?
Yeah.
This made me want to get into the studio. I'm like, yo, I could do this. No, I can't.
But you possibly could. I mean, anybody can make a record.
Nah, I mean, you're definitely, we got to get you in the studio.
Yeah.
I'm not tied to that way. Like,
I've actually been working in the studio. I got like 2 joints done already.
For real, though?
Yeah.
And you ain't telling me about that?
I'm just working, man. You
know? What's going on?
It's just work. You know? It's nothing crazy.
Yo, it's a Friday afternoon, man.
Yes,
the best radio show in the world.
1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Make sure you catch us every Friday on the CliffCentral.com app. Download it. Plug it in. Uncensored on radio. Welcome to the best show during your lunchtime. I hope you're eating something good and expensive.
No borders.
No borders, man.
Who we got?
We got Don Dada in the building.
Hey, they got them dreadlocks all in this
pops.
Building. Like, and Pops.
We got Don Dada and his dad.
It's his dad.
Yeah.
What up, man?
In fact, we got Damian Marley.
We got Damian
Marley and his son, Don Dada, in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is going to be a special episode. We're going to go into some of the music. We're just listening to his new single.
ATM is the 18. 18.
Yeah. 18
is... It's not the
not the new single? Okay.
Yeah.
It's just one of the singles, one of the records that you have?
Yeah. He's got a new joint.
Okay.
I don't know. Like it's Mandela.
Yeah,
Viva Mandela.
I was just waiting to see if you knew it.
Hey, of course I know it.
Shout out Taylor J just walked into the building right now.
What up, Rocco?
What's good, brother?
I'm not too happy with y'all just knowing each other like that. You know, y'all don't know each other on our show.
It's light skinned people. Don't you know light skinned people know each other?
Light skinned people got a problem.
They got their own WhatsApp.
No borders, man. No borders.
No borders in Africa. We ain't light skinned. Ronaldo and Lamise out there just, you know, looking all light skinned for no reason.
Light skin movement. We're taking over today. It's Light Skin Friday. Ah!
No, it actually
sounds nice. Light Skin Friday.
It actually does. Okay, listen.
It actually sounds nice.
If anybody's listening, don't jack that for your next party or whatever, please. Yeah. That is strictly going to be for Don Dada and his light skin brother. You know, they're going to keep that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, go in depth. Don't be afraid. Let us know who you are, where you come from, where you started, where you're going. Yeah.
Oh, it's been a long journey, man. Born in Harare, Zimbabwe.
100%.
You already know.
Yeah, got to fly that flag high every time.
You know.
From there, moved to South Africa in 1994, man.
Yeah, man.
I started with the battle rap, 13 years old. Like,
we've had a lot of people talking about battle rap, though. Right?
Yeah, like, yeah. I know, but can they do it?
Oh.
Okay.
All right. That's how I put it down.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I started with, right? And that's where I met my main boys that I started working with, Bongani Fassi, Crazy Lou. Shout out Josie, man, Les and the boys.
Yeah.
So, man, I was on Fosse Records for 3 years, pushing with them boys for a bit. And I decided time is right, time for me to evolve and get on by myself. So I started Rough Cut Studios with my dad.
Yeah.
And this is my sophomore
project. Shout out to Pops.
Yeah, this is the big man. This is the big man.
You already know.
You get to pop it.
Give thanks.
I mean, question is, though, like, I mean, I had a bit of, you know, like a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you know, the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And then the rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, wait, hold on.
Connect up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but if you look at hip hop is like patois toasting, basically, just in plain English. So it's just the evolution of patois toasting, right?
Okay. You got to explain that.
That's
but,
true.
You know, because I don't understand that. I'm sure a lot of listeners would want to know what
like
that means.
Okay. Like, patois toasting, you're looking at dudes like Biniman and whatnot, like that style of reggae. That's not actually even reggae, that's dancehall.
That's dancehall,
Yeah. So dancehall, they toast, and in toasting, it's rapping, basically. So I guess my style came off that. My dad was very deep, as you can see, in the reggae music and dancehall music.
Yeah.
And my voice broke. I couldn't sing, bro. I couldn't do no reggae. So I was like, you know what? My cousins have B.I.G., Tupac, all those, like, the cassettes, the Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah.
So I was like,
nah. The bootleg.
No, the real. I can't say bootleg on radio.
Uncensored, unscripted, cliffcentral.com.
No doubt. So, I started listening to that, and I was feeling the flows, especially the East Coast style. So I was like, why not try it out, man? Like, I was at school and the dude dissed me. It was my last day of school. He dissed me in some battle rap stuff. And I was like, never, I can't let that slide. So I got up and I started rapping. And then from there, it just became my passion.
Ah, dope. That's crazy. Like, I mean, coming up in the game, obviously, you moved here in 94.
Yeah.
But when did you initially step into the rap game itself?
I was, like I said, 13 years old. It was my last day of term one, grade eight, when the dude dissed me.
Oh.
And the next year was my first time in studio.
That's snap, so, man.
Yeah, I started working like
it's crazy how when people diss you, you can start doing stuff.
You know what I mean? Like, I gotta come back.
Yeah. I gotta get in on this. Yeah.
I was a short, fat dude, so I started playing some sport. That's how I came back.
How fat were you? You keep on saying you were a short, fat dude.
I was like, you were pretty obese,
huh?
I was like Popeyes, McDonald's, snap. It was not a good look, dog. I was nah.
But
and then I went to boarding school.
But it's crazy, man. Like, you know, I was always a tall, skinny kid, and then I ended up being like a tall, big dude.
Big dude, yeah.
Yeah, so it was
big
like,
Daddy Black.
And you never even thought about it. You're like, man,
bro,
I don't
you were
big.
Tall. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you tall. God damn, you tall. I was like, because everywhere I go, people are like, boy, you're so big. Like, oh, is everyone from Zimbabwe that size? I'm like, listen, bro, I'm short, bro. Like, you know what
There's
I mean?
Other dudes.
Yeah, I want to take a picture with you just so people
just
can
so
see.
Just so people
that.
Can see.
Yeah. Yada, let's get back into the music. So, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I went through your Facebook news feed, and you know what I mean? I'm like, yo, hey, this dude, he's doing a couple of, interviews and yada, yada. How's it going?
Oh, it's good, man.
And I'm not talking radio, how's it going? We're talking to the fans and we're saying, how is it actually going?
I mean, like,
the shows,
I want to be honest with y'all. Like, I'm the type of dude that I will never say it's good because it's business and business can always be better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's all right. It's going all right. Like, I did, last month, 25 interviews. I've been averaging that since the beginning of Jan this year, 22 interviews a month. So I'm pushing, bro. Like, that's my aim. Like, next 26th of this year, I'm out. 26th of this month, I'm in Zim. Mm-hmm. I'm opening for DeMarco. He's, like, one of the biggest artists in Zim.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'm getting where I need to go.
And in regard, I mean, of course, revenue is a big deal. Like, I mean, everybody talks revenue, and no one ever asks artists how much you make. You know what I mean? Like, you get people like, Ricky Rick coming on the show, like, I got the G-Wagon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of actual revenue, we don't need figures, but, like, is it making sense? And where is it making sense? Is it making sense back home where you come from? Is it making sense? I mean, you come from a lot of places.
Like, for me, predominantly, it's about shows, man. I get the guaps from the shows. Ringtones, like my Viva Mandela track that was sponsored by MTN. It was like the official Mandela song last month.
Yeah.
So I haven't yet got back my paperwork to show, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's Mandela, bro.
That Mandela money.
Yeah. So, but I mean, for me, it's not even about the cash, bro. It's like, it's about passion. This is like the first year that I've actually started getting an income from hip hop. Before that, it was just about the love of the culture and pushing it. So I'm not even looking at it. I don't even, dude, like, as long as I got cigarettes, I got my J, and I got my daughter's happy, I really don't care. Like, my parents, they take the money. You're like, you spend it on the house. It's for the house. It's for us. Why do you work? You work for your family, not for yourself. So let them take it.
I like your family,
like,
man.
Yeah, like,
that's a dope family that you got.
That's a really dope family, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they would have kicked me out the house. They ain't gonna let me do that. They'd be like, oh, you wanna rap?
You know what I mean?
You wanna rap?
Nigga,
you
know? We all that money that we spent.
Yeah, they're like, nah, man.
For you to rap.
But I think it's cool, like, when everybody like kinda like follows their passion. You know, it's one of the most difficult periods in life right now where you've got a responsibility like a daughter and you still got something that's a passion to you that you still gotta turn into money.
Yeah. Right.
So for you following it, that means, you know, you definitely believe that you can go somewhere with it.
Yeah, like I feel like the more difficult the struggle, the more beautiful the success.
100%.
Like, I lost a lot because of my
Talib
Kweli,
beautiful struggle, man.
Right?
You know what I mean?
100%.
I lost a lot following the passion, but it don't matter what you lose, it's what's coming to you.
But you got a high level of experience. If you were on Fosse Records for 3 years, and I'm assuming that 3 years was the period when you would say Josie was at its peak. So you would assume that, you know, you managed to learn a lot and see a lot in the game. So you coming out on your own shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, like, well, when I was on Fosse Records, this was actually during the period when he released Stretcher.
Oh, that's a couple years back,
Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on. I don't know anything about what y'all talking about.
Okay.
So probably a lot of listeners, because we got someone in Hong Kong right now thinking Fosse.
What is Stretcher?
What is Fosse? What's Stretcher? Let's talk about Fosse Records first and foremost.
Yeah.
And what happened. So let's talk about who
Bongani Fassie.
Bongani Fassie is. Yeah. And obviously his mom's, and you know, and then yeah. let's also talk about what happened to it.
Okay, well, basically, if y'all don't know, Bongani Fassie is the son of the late legend, the great Brenda Fassie, you know, my
beat. Amen, amen.
So, man, we worked together for a minute, and it's not really, you could say, something happened. It was more like an amicable split. Like, they were going in one direction, and I felt like now is my time to focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And all respect to him, that's my brother, you know what I mean? That's not even my friend, that's my brother.
And you're not just talking radio right now.
Nah. You're talking for real. That's my brother. So, at the end, we sat down and we had a conversation. Like, listen, bro, I gotta do this. And he's like, no, for real, and I'll support you, G. And that's how it's been, man. Like, I've been lucky to have friends like that, too. People that they never hold a grudge. You know, they'll let you go and do your thing and help you grow doing your thing. That's beautiful people. So, shout out Bongs.
Yeah, man, shout out Bongs, man. And, like, the reality is, obviously, when you were in this period with Bongani Fassie, I mean, like, okay, Stretcher being a record that he released about 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Stretcher was basically a diss track
for the whole industry.
For the whole industry.
Yeah.
Was it dope?
It was dope. It was actually quite lit. But obviously, at the time when he released the joint, from my own personal perspective, it was hard for him to get the joint to do what he wanted it to do.
Yeah.
Because he had been so detached from the game for a long time.
So it didn't do what AKA...
What
Tito. AKA Altito.
Nah.
AKA Casper.
What's it called?
Composure, man.
Composure. It didn't do what Composure did.
Yeah, and Composure only made sense because it was the two most relevant artists going at each other at that
point. But he went
hard
on a lot of people. Like, yo, 80,000 for a beat.
Yeah, but 80,000. Now they did an entire album together. Yeah, but I mean, you see, that's why even when that dropped, I was like, look, it's all about propaganda. They've worked out a strategy that they understand makes things happen.
Yeah.
Even when I tell people that, I really feel like
Bonang's book. Oh. I don't think that was a strategy.
No, that was just bad.
that was just terrible. Like your Ingele is bad.
That was just a bad day in the office.
And then Africans, you see, that's our problem. Africans are like, yo, wait, hold on. No, English is not our first language, so we must be a lot. No, if you decide to write a book,
yeah,
let it be right. You know what I mean? Like, don't be like, yo, we're African, so the English doesn't have to be good. Nah, homie. So why didn't you write the book in your vernacular?
The truth is, like, you know, even when I look at some of the comments and, like, I've even posted up some memes at times, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, I haven't seen them, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, it's hard when you have a person of that stature like Bonang who puts out a book about her life, which everyone will be interested in.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that she gets wrong is the grammar. And stuff like
that. Not just the grammar. It's like, the day that she was born.
The day, exactly. I'm like, wait. I'm like, so.
She's like, I was born on the 18th of November. It was on a Thursday night.
It was Wednesday.
Like, nah, homie, it wasn't. It was.
And that's Black Twitter for you. Black Twitter, like, anything you say. You say, oh, yeah, you know, I just made 25 mil on the 30th of. Like, nah, man, no, the banks was closed. You can't do that type of transaction. But, like, it's crazy. Like, I mean, that was so bad for her. And now to get the book recalled.
By exclusive? Yeah.
That is terrible.
But I mean, what about the publishers, man? Because when you write a book, like, there's very people true. That sit and proofread this. This is not like you writing it and putting it on shelves yourself.
No, true. Yeah.
So, like,
it's not like
more people
it's not like an exercise book and just say, okay, this is my scrap. You guys can,
you know what I mean?
I can just, like, make copies.
So I kind of feel bad for her because
maybe
she's
it was
catching
sabotage.
Don't
you think it was sabotage?
I don't think it was sabotage. I think she just didn't do her due diligence.
No, but come on.
And with artists, Dada, we're going to get into you now, like, due diligence.
Yeah, you gotta.
Are you involved in your music? Like, do you make sure that every single component of what you do,
is about you?
Part of it? Like your Twitter.
Of course.
Because we know Jay-Z's Twitter isn't, it's not Jay.
Yeah.
They got some kid who's being paid like $10,000 a month for no reason, just to tweet. No, for real, but we know it.
But that's what it is, you know? I mean, we always talk about it on the show in terms of, like, you know, we like to challenge artists in terms of, from your standpoint, you would still be regarded as an upcoming artist. If you had a hit single now and you went to a Metro Awards or you went to a summer, they'll give you a best newcomer or a best this and that, you know? So, but now, what artists don't get is that there's so many companies that have to go into the artistry and how much of that are they doing for them to be where they want to be?
Exactly, yeah, 100%.
Because it's one thing for you to have a studio. It's one thing to have pops with you.
Yeah.
It's another thing to be making good beats and be a good rapper.
Yeah.
But where's the rest of the cash?
Yeah.
Exactly. You need to have your business side unlocked. That's definite, man.
No, it's very important because, like I would expect me and Kev to see you and not even need to, like have say, okay, oh, you a Don Dada or whatever. We should be able to be like, yo, man, snap. Oh, you coming out? Then that's dope.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's the gap between Africa and the West. The West focuses more on the back end, mm-hmm. and Africa focuses more on the front end, on the
like
front
the artistry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why cats are like, oh, but they don't want to book me. I'm like, but.
And which
they don't
is
know
why
you, they don't know you.
They can't book you.
And they gotta find you. Which is why there are no suits in Africa.
There are no suits, and we had the suit conversation 2 weeks ago.
And then when I'm trying to come through and be that suit, you're like, no, I manage myself.
Yeah, everyone says that.
Are you for real? You really trying to make that money? You want to walk into a boardroom at MTN with them dreadlocks?
But actually, I do. And they love me too.
And they're like, oh, that's a refreshing change.
Gotta talk to Pops.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got Pops in the building, so he introduced himself as Moses.
Yeah.
We're Africans. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We call him Pops.
Yeah.
Pops, the support that you've given to your son, man, like, I mean, that's like my mama would have beaten my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't realize, it takes so much to promote one artist.
Yeah.
And a lot of the big companies I was reading somewhere invest approximately $3.5 million.
Yes.
Just to start up an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're doing it from a family point of view where $3.5 million could buy me 2 houses. You know what I mean?
I got a deal for you. You know what I mean? You can get 7 apartments in Austin.
Pop's got a lot. Pop's probably got a lot of money. He's like, $3.5 million, get me 2 houses. I'm like, hey, wait, hold up. 2? In the north?
Because
I could buy about 8. I could buy 8 in the south.
We could do a little bit of business with that 3.5, but yeah.
But it takes so much. You need photographers.
Oh, yeah.
You need the clothing department sorted out.
You need a PR company.
You need... You understand.
Y'all have the dreadlocks, so you need the hairdressers.
Yeah. I hate them. I hate them. Messing, just twisting up my joint, man.
And if you look abroad,
yeah.
the most successful artists like Bieber and the Jackson family and so on, and it goes a long way. They have their family behind them.
100%.
So let's change the perception that, the parents want to distance themselves when kids want to become artists.
Yeah.
An artist deals with word, sound, and power.
Yes, I am.
So it's
getting conscious.
It's getting deep.
It's getting conscious in the studio.
Roll up a joint,
man.
Bob Marley
reincarnated. So we deal with word, sound, and power, and that is what we bring to the table.
Yeah.
So our perception is that Africa needs to improve so much that communication is one of the aspects that we actually need to improve on.
Yeah.
And instead of bringing each other down, let's look forward and say, look, if I look after my son, music can last long after a man is gone off the face of the earth. You know, there's royalties that are payable long after you could be, you know, some people are more valuable after.
Michael
Jackson for one.
Sometimes let us not be short-sighted and think that, yes, because the man is not a star, that you'll never make money.
No.
Yeah. Who knows that maybe next year, you know.
And Pops, I mean, you're taking it way deeper because it's not just about the money. It's about, we're always talking about how the West has infiltrated Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, the way we dress, the way we speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yes.
Slowly losing our culture.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest means of us propagating our culture, you know, making sure that it you know, we pass it down from generation to generation, is music and literature.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think especially with people who come from a reggae background like we do in Zim, I think we're probably some of the most conscious people in Africa.
Yeah,
in a sense that
exactly
we've adopted that type of spiritual grounding towards a lot of things.
Yes.
So even when it comes to the music, that's why you find it's very hard for us to create a hip hop market for Zimbabwe.
Because hip hop comes through with
a lot of elements that we are totally against.
Yeah.
You know, it's like having a friend who does coke. And you're like, how did you end up like that? Where did you grow up?
Because we don't get it.
Because that was never part of us. You know, we heard it come through with the hip hop in the 90s, you know, you know, with your Biggies and your Pox, but we always used to kind of stick to the more conscious vibes.
Mm.
You know, your Nas,
yeah.
You know, your Jigga Mans. Those are the type of people that we kind of, your Commons, you know?
Mm.
Those are the people that we actually really used to listen to. Mos Def and all that. So,
Talib Kweli.
I totally understand where he's coming from. It's just so hard that, like, when you try and preach that into the new Mm-hmm. The new school.
Oh, they want to hear that.
They can hear that. Nah. Look, I mean, if you got a bottle of Benlin next to you and a Fanta Orange all day, I don't think you can hear much.
Dude.
It's a different life. Even the smoking of weed for us when we were growing up. I mean, like, it wasn't really about just getting high. You know, you actually used to go into a conscious sort of like meditation type of situation whereby you smoke in order to get into a space where you can think, you clear your mind. Now it's just like, yo, light up a blunt, I want to go crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, no, that's not the use for that.
How are you dealing with, because Kamu brought up a very critical issue, how are you dealing with the new school?
Oh, man. Because
your music is not really new school.
No.
You haven't tried to do that whole trap thing.
Nah, I'm me, bro. I'm me. Like, I decided a long time ago, like, you can either chase the tail or you can, you know, run the race, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't chasing no tail, dog.
But would you mind doing a trap song?
Nah, not at all. Not at all, because it's hip hop.
This is quite cool. This is the type of artist that we should be having a lot more
Amen.
Of now.
Amen.
So you know exactly what your roots and your foundation is, and you know what your sound is like.
Yeah.
But you don't mind the new sound, and not you don't mind jumping on the new
not
sound.
Not at all.
I feel like if you listen to Chance the Rapper's album, if you listen to Kendrick's album, if you listen to J. Cole, these are artists who've done better than all these other trap artists,
right?
Yeah.
But the only difference is they're just not doing your regular. You don't hear them in the club.
No, you don't.
But the majority of the people that are buying their records are in the house, and they're happy to play that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I feel that's why no artist needs to change their sound in order to try and suit what's happening. They just need to accept that whatever they're doing needs to be appealing and directly
and be
marketable.
Real with what you're doing.
And be marketable. Exactly. Yeah. Hence comes in the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great that you got your pops with you. Yeah. I think it'd be great if you could get more people involved, you know?
Of course.
You need to actually sit on the table like six heads looking at you.
Yeah.
No matter whether you're upcoming or not. I keep telling cats, like, yo, if you're going to sacrifice and go into music, then go in the whole way.
Because you can't go, it can't be half-baked.
Of course not. Yeah. I mean, it's a leap of faith, but dude, you got to know that at the bottom of this thing, you're going to survive. Why
when did you take that leap of faith?
Oh, 13, bro.
Yeah, 13, remember?
Really?
Now,
I mean, that's when he started rapping.
No. That's when I knew that's what I wanted to do.
That's when you're like, yo, this is me.
Yeah.
I remember asked him twice, because I wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
Is that when you decided, he's like, no, you know what? After this dude dissed me, I'm going to take this to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the next move now?
Yeah.
Oh, man, next move, next project. That's what I'm looking at,
you're
going to
slap Casper if you see him, like, maybe.
For what? You know what I mean?
It's a little bit of PR. I don't know, man.
You know, I'm the type of dude, man. Like, I know these things. Like, I can come out right now and I could start dissing dudes.
All sorts of
all types and bringing out personal things.
But it don't have
for what, bro? Because, like, I'm a man, you're a man. Respect each other as men at the end of the day.
Amen.
You're trying to feed your family, man. I got to feed mine.
Yeah. I'll be honest, a lot of dudes wouldn't have said that. And it's funny, I'll refer to an interview I was watching, the 50 Cent interview. And he's like, you know, he was talking to Styles P. Because you know they had beef at one stage.
Yeah. So, with LOX.
Yeah. But like the thing is, like, they had beef, but they never actually met. Ever in real life.
Man.
So they're talking on the radio show. And he's like, look, man, I can't push your stuff back. I can't stop you from making money. Because I don't know what your situation is.
Exactly.
You probably got 8 kids, 2 grandmas, 2 grandpas. I don't know what's set up you have in your hood house. So he would never stop that. But here, I've noticed, we don't have that sense of respect.
Yeah, people want to take cheap shots.
Even when in terms of putting each other on, because if I was working in studio with you, let's say, for instance, I'm the Les, and I worked in studio with you, and I always knew you had talent.
Yeah.
When I get on, I would always want to, like, bring you back up.
Yeah.
That's always been, like, my type of thing. But here, everybody switches sides every second.
I feel like also, dudes, it's like, it's something that you've just received and you feel that it's fragile and you're thinking, like, if I have to now share with someone else, what do I have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because let's face it as well, it's not a big market in South Africa. I mean, it's big, it's multi-million rand, but it is not billion US dollar market.
And it's multi-million rand focused towards specific artists.
Yeah.
It's not multi-million rand all down
that's
the
spread
street.
Spread out, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, now, I was even having a conversation with somebody about this dude who's kind of on now, but he's doing house stuff. You know this Tulu Kuti Hey guy? Like, he's been training
Tell
for the last two, three weeks. And then Euphonics jumped on him and whatnot. So we were trying to get him out for an interview and a show and stuff. And his management says they want 12,000 rand. So I said, wait.
Why?
You want us to pay you to come on radio?
No, that was for the show. I said interview and a show. So the interview, he was down and no problem with that.
Yeah.
But now, I was now doubling up on the business, as you know. So I was like, yo, can we, like, you know, do a show with you? Come out, you know? He's like, okay, cool. But we need 12K. So I put the phone on loudspeaker and I said, okay, I just want everybody who's around me to hear. How much did you say? They said 12,000. I said, what do you want 12,000 rands for?
One song.
Explain. It's not even a song, dog. It's a clip that has now evolved into a song based on Euphonic. hijacking
the
hype.
On Twitter, they were going on Twitter about
that. Yeah, Euphonic just hijacked
the hype. The hype and
then off of Bonang H2B.
Him being business-minded was like, oh, dope. I've just been trending because of dissing Bonang. Let me get this guy,
and then
put him
on,
the and then let's run with the song and hey.
Yeah. Now you're charging $12,000.
Okay. Now you're charging $12,000. I have no problem with anybody charging whatever they want to charge. That's $1,000 to me.
Yeah.
But now $1,000 when you have a viral video talking nonsense in your room,
it's not worth
doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Why can't you take $2,000, right, and do 20 shows in a weekend, and then you got $40,000, and exactly. You get yourself spread across? Because what this guy's forgetting is that it's not going to be just about the music. He needs to get out there.
Yeah.
And it's also about, yes, fair and fine, we need the suits in the industry and we need the business aspect.
Yeah.
But what's more important is, what are you giving to society?
Exactly.
Thank
so,
you.
I mean, we're paying $12,000 to see you, dog, but what are we paying $12,000 for?
Exactly.
I mean, am I getting a product? Can I pick up your CD, like, you know, 2 years later and be like, oh, snap, man.
And
I paid $8 for that, but this was $8 well spent.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is it. So, I don't know, man. Like, you know, it's just food for thought. As artists, when you're upcoming, I'll tell you one thing. There's certain people who make you or break you. And you'll be surprised. We're the people who make you or break you, because we're everywhere. And we know what's going on. We even close out opportunities for artists because we know this cat's not serious. And we're not ready to do that. But show it from the artistry that you guys have the power to make yourselves who you're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Just get all your stuff in check. I mean, this dude doesn't even have a really decent manager. Like, and this dude is asking me for $12,000. Like, what are you smoking, dog? Like,
yeah. We got to round up. Dan Dada. Yeah. We got Pops. Moses on the show, man. We just dropped 18.
It's been a pleasure.
Amazing. But what's the latest track is?
Viva Mandela, man. You can get that as your Call of Tunes or ringtones. MTN star 123 star 4666 4.
Okay,
hey, man.
Hey,
hey,
hey, hold on. They started selling
you gotta
stuff.
Pay for that. You got to pay for that.
They started selling stuff.
You gave me the time,
though. We said, wait, that. We didn't say.
Don't give a rapper any time. I tell you.
Start one. No.
How do people get a hold of you on social media?
Social media, any portal you go to, it's at Don Dada Music. So, for example, facebook.com/ Don Dada Music.
Okay.
Twitter @ Don Dada Music. Instagram @ Don Dada Music. It's a Don Dada world.
Oh,
you already know. Don Dada 18, Viva Mandela. You know where to get it.
Studying 34.
Brand new Taylor J.
In the building.
She is not a new face on this show. We appreciate her support.
Thank
and
you
we
so
appreciate
much.
That she's dropping this premiere of Taylor J.
Featuring Hulu and DJ Clap.
You already know.
Let's go.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Wow.
Just like the white man said, this is CliffCentral.com. And he got a big ass check for that.
Why don't you have your sound drop and say, this is CliffCentral.com?
Well, I've got issues with these people. Every time I seem to do a voiceover, it's like, oh, thanks, come have a great weekend, man. You know, take care of yourself. You're like, what just happened there? No banking detail.
Can I send you my FNB account?
Yeah. Like, oh, you gotta sign a release form. Like, nah, I don't think so. Let's just keep this open for now. Shout out to everybody listening right now. Catch us on WhatsApp at 079-748-2090, because I know y'all do love WhatsApp. So 079.
Yeah, but your accent is kind of wrong. Your accent is
079-748-2090.
Not 2090. Come
Yo, on. 079-748-2090, man. We're in the building. We got Taylor J, the beautiful Taylor J. Amazingly beautiful Taylor J, who's supposed to be whipping everybody else's ass in the game right now. So that was her featuring Uhuru. What is the name of the joint? Okay, that's why we never, ever, ever pronounce the song.
Like,
because we don't embarrass ourselves.
And then she sent me the artwork. I'm like, should I
pronounce it? I saw the artwork. I was like, you will say this yourself. I will only
we
say
will not pronounce on radio.
Come on, guys. You could have at least tried. At least say Kotere or something like that.
Okay, Kotere.
Yeah.
We need to go out to Namibia. Kotere. I was actually talking to her about some stuff that's happening in Namibia. But yeah, we're going to be out there real soon. Mm-hmm. I actually want to take you out there. And you can show us around, man. Show us what's going on in Namibia.
Wait, hold up. Epic moment right now.
Yeah.
The first show that we had as No Borders, when we transitioned from shout out to Zim Conversations, come up here and KF, you know, our come up. But the first show that we had someone from Burundi, Nigeria, and a couple of other countries on the show. Yeah. And the first question that we asked everybody in the building, we're like, yo, no borders, Africa. We got to know about Africa, right? Yeah. We're like, who's the president of Namibia?
Everyone's like,
nobody knew. And you know what was really bad? I knew that I was going to ask the question. I didn't even research. Wow. I don't know who the president of Namibia is.
Wow.
Well, look,
can we say it now?
His name is Hage Geingob.
Hage Geingob.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he kind of Chinese Namibian?
No, he's actually, he's Damara. He's from my tribe.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
he's
right.
Hage Geingob.
I need to mess with your tribe. Your tribe looks like it's got a future. Shout out to the Damara people. You know, we're coming to check you out live. Coming to see y'all.
You already know we're going to
so
open
tell
up
us more about the joint.
Yeah.
Is that your new single?
That's the new single.
Okay, but yeah, you kind of, you're playing with the singles, man. You hip hop 1 minute and you
this. Okay. Let me explain.
People you were Super Chiquita a couple of months ago.
No. People have been asking me my new album, what I'm doing with it. And this album, I'm literally just focusing on different styles of Afrobeats.
Okay, dope.
You know, that's what I've been working on this year. Just different variations from Manghao, the previous single with Big Star, which had more of a Namibian element to this.
And that video just dropped, right?
Yeah, that video just dropped. And now with this one, I was going into a more housey feel.
Yeah.
Yes, I've done more house songs with people. People have featured me specifically to speak my language and spit in my language, you know what I mean? Mm. But like the rest of the album is just different styles of Afrobeats coming from all over Africa.
I think you'd be a very, very welcome addition to Afrobeats.
Yeah.
Very welcome one.
Definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Because Tiwa and them are the only ones clearing it out.
But Tiwa isn't even...
She ain't Afro though no
she's
more.
Not.
She's dancehall now. But
well,
I get what you mean. Like,
but she holds. Yeah,
it,
and she holds that spot.
It's what Pops was saying, like Pato.
Patwa.
Yeah, Patois.
Patois. Yeah. It sounds more dancehall, reggae-ish. Yeah.
Well, you got to understand, the one thing about Afrobeats that everyone needs to know is that Patois is the actual... This is
origin
the foundation exactly
of Afrobeats
because in Nigeria, where probably Afrobeats originate from, that's where the main roots are from. Patois is pretty big because obviously the weed element, blah blah.
So Patois is pidgin, right?
Patois is the Jamaican dialect,
like spitting. Yeah,
there you go.
But like Afrobeats doesn't originate in Nigeria though.
Afrobeats
just means African beats,
but the sound.
No,
but
Afrobeat.
The sound comes from Nigeria.
When I say Afrobeat, I don't mean the Nigerian Afrobeat. For example,
so you don't mean that sound.
Yeah,
I just
mean Afrobeat in general. Because if you go right, like if you listen to this is Kuduro House.
Yes.
Come to Mangola, you know what I mean. Then you've got now sounds like Kizomba coming through. Then you've got Afrobeats coming through from like East Africa.
Wait, so
you
what
know?
You're saying
then
is like Kizomba?
I should
fall under Afrobeats.
Yeah, it's
African tune.
Yeah, it's Afrobeats.
It's got those distinct African drumlines. It's got a
sub-definition, like
but it falls under the main umbrella of
Afrobeats.
Yeah,
right.
Afrobeats.
So we're all saying the same thing. The only difference is we're talking about the way the sound is described internationally and how it's absorbed.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. Yeah. Me, I'm playing around with the different... I call it drum
different
lines.
Sounds. Yeah, the
different
sounds. Drum
lines of Africa.
Of course.
Basically.
Like
that's,
you said,
yeah,
this
that's
is
what
golden
I'm going,
drum
that's what I'm going for.
Okay, I think we're kind of missing the point right now.
No, but this is great.
First of all, I love this song. No. I'm not saying we're actually missing the point. Yeah. But you know, I had something I want to ask.
Oh, yo, you did? Okay, go on.
Yo, hey, things are hard, ne?
Must I explain
Taylor?
This song?
No. Things are hard.
Is it hard?
And then you just get Uhuru and DJ Kev there. In the studio, you just bring them to your house.
Hey, no, and actually, it wasn't at my house. No, man, shout out to Uru and Clap. I was just chilling at Kalawa and we just started, you know,
vibing.
Why is she being braggadocious?
And
like, why does
right
every...
now, I'm doing the Christmas in July tour with Spigiri them. So,
it just made sense,
you know. So,
you'd be a good addition to their squad right now.
Yeah, because the squad is kind of...
They're very house, though. But, like, I do appreciate working with them. They're dope.
No,
yeah, they're
you
dope.
See, that's
they're
the thing.
Legend.
You know,
yeah.
it's not even really about... You don't have to change your sound. It's really just about the people that you'll be around. That level of experience and know-how.
And incorporating
and connection.
The sound.
Yeah, like, you know, it's very dope. It's like how AB ended up with Cloud. It was never really about... About
Wait,
what Kalawa?
AB at Kalawa?
Yeah, it's been at Kalawa for 3 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it wasn't really about Kalawa doing hip hop. Mm-hmm. It was more like, okay, this is a great place to be in terms of connecting with the industry, understanding the game,
and
learning.
Gel.
Yeah, so even if he leaves or he stays, he's the what he's garnered in the last 3 years. He would never be able to get anyone else.
Yeah,
they should sign you. You got a new single, right? Coming out.
Ooh.
I saw you looking crazy on Facebook. Yeah, I didn't understand.
Let's not talk about that. That's a little.
No, he
psych.
Gotta first calm down and talk about my single first.
Well, go on. Let us know more about the new single. Taylor, you basically like family here, so you're always here. So we're not gonna ask you the basic questions like, oh, so where did you start?
Come on. And another thing is, we've been talking about getting a female voice on this show. Taylor, you should submit your resume.
You guys need to bring me on. You know, I did college radio.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Can you bring 10,000 downloads?
I think you're gonna make our pictures look better.
The pictures will look better. Yeah.
Can I more likes. Because
that picture don't look good at all, and it's still there, though.
Yeah, shout out to Dory, though.
So Taylor, Kamu said it. So many singles.
Yeah.
Album, homie. EP.
I already have an EP, bruh.
You do? Is it done? Complete?
No, my EP came out 2 years ago.
Oh,
no,
wait,
no. We're not talking about that. We're talking now. Since you've been on the show,
I'm working on the album.
Okay.
Yes, it will be done this year. Trust.
When?
It will when be is it out. Dropping?
It will be out before the end of the year. I have deadlines to
We need timelines like for Bill.
I cannot give you a date because then you're just going to send me pressures.
Yes, we'll be sending you pressure because
When is it coming?
Black Twitter is going to take you.
How? Black Twitter will be like, she said on the 10th and now it came out on this day.
Apparently she's broke.
The last record she could do was the whole record.
Yeah. That's what killed her budget.
I've been working on music the past couple of months and I'm excited.
No, we have heard. A little bird has been tweeting.
Who you been working with?
With Camera, with Uru.
Shout out to Camera.
And BC, a few other producers, you know what I mean? So.
And Simba Tax is around. You should get in the studio with him.
Yeah, work.
Yeah, I heard about him.
Yeah, Simba's quite Simba's a beast. You need to get in the studio with Simba.
Simba's a beast of
I'm excited. Like, I can work with anyone as long as we vibe. You know, if we're vibing in studio, then it's cool.
Rocco, didn't I tell you about Gemini? And Jem says ain't nothing happening yet.
No, not yet. We still have to meet.
I'm going to say this on radio. I can see Gemini and Taylor.
Like in a relationship or something?
No.
Calm down.
That's going to be so bad.
Calm down. Because
he's kind of small.
And very skinny. Yeah.
And he Malawian. Like,
yeah.
Hey, that fish don't give you too much.
Calm down.
Don't give you too much protein. You know what I mean? Like, I think he can make a beat. I don't think he could,
can't. I did tell Rocco, I told him, look, your guys' combination is going to be excellent. Because, like, for me, what I've tried to do over the last couple of years is figure out Taylor J's sound. And it's been the most difficult process. Like,
because I love to experiment.
And that's my problem with you. I would love to slap you with my left hand. Because I'm like, what's wrong with you, Taylor? You need to...
Hey, wait, hold on.
That's why I'm excited about this current project, because I feel like I'm working towards my sound now. I'm more aware of what I want to do. And what I told myself this year is I want to speak more in my language. You know what I mean? I want to use Damara because people don't know my language. You know what I mean? Yes, they've watched The Gods Must Be Crazy, The Zulu on My Stoop, and they've heard the language.
We didn't know that was your language.
That was my language.
I thought this was the Zulu on My Stoop.
No, they actually speak my language. The people you see in that movie, in Zulu on My Stoop and in The Gods Must Be Crazy, that is my language.
Wait, but Taylor, did you just drop that just to tell the world that, yo, actually, it was not Zulu.
It was Damara.
Hey, Damara.
This Damara thing is quite lit.
Hey, they need to sponsor us. Hey,
yeah, they do put Damara everywhere, yo, man. Like, I didn't even know that. I thought it was just Zulu.
I got my financial manager right there, man. Like,
and he's staring into the studio like,
hey, dog,
guys,
are we getting paid?
Are we getting paid?
No. You know what I mean?
But shout out to Taylor, man. I'm glad that we've seen the evolution of Taylor. You're a star that probably at some stage we're going to be able to say, we've been there from the beginning.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But we just want to see you grow. You know, I think the most important thing is like more international collaborations. Are you working on some of that?
Exactly, yeah.
Are you?
I am. I don't want to mention them.
You have to.
No, I just can't. Well, I don't like people just knowing it. Like, no one knew I was releasing this Uhuru track.
No, we knew.
And how did you know?
Well, I spoke to my producer.
No, Kamu.
I don't mean people that talk to people or whatever. The general public doesn't know who I'm always worth.
Well, general public, if you need to know anything, at Kamu B, Black to the Time from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. I will hook you up with everybody.
Wait, hold on. Did you just say Black to the Time?
Yeah, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's when I hit it up.
Black to the Time.
That's when I join them up, you know?
I believe in the notion that if you're working on something, you don't let everyone know everything immediately.
I agree with
you.
No, that is very African.
And then you just start putting it out when it's time, you know what I mean?
But I think
that's just how it is. Because I believe
like,
in energy and stuff.
If you tell people about it, they're like, we're not the old
also
jinx.
Jinx it. Also,
did people just put their bad karmas and stuff on you? If you just tell them, oh yeah, yo, in 2 months I'm dropping the song.
But I think if things are gonna happen, things are gonna happen. Yes, you know what I mean?
Okay, like, look at it like this: every successful artist you've seen, they generally they will not mention what they're doing at least 2 months prior. You know what I mean? They will give it to you at least maybe 2-3 weeks right before it happens.
So is
you
it
know
Drake
I mean?
Or is it Wizkid? Come on.
Oh, child, if I get to work with Wizkid, shout out to Wizzy.
Really?
He is like my dream artist to work with from Africa.
You was about to say your dream something else. It's your dream what?
It's dream everything. Oh, dream everything.
Wizkid, listen.
Shout out to Wizkid, man. He's dope.
Wizkid, ayo.
And shout out to Obio, man. Get Wizkid, man. We mess with Obio out here.
I know.
Obio, 30
me
billion gang out here.
Number one fan out here.
It's 30 billion gang out here, man. Devin, man, I'm going to see you on the 16th, man. That deal is going to be sweet.
Oh, yeah, is Devin actually coming down?
He's coming down for Major League Gardens, man. Shout out to Obio, man. Shout out to the people who respond to the emails, you know, and the people who deposit the checks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got issues with people who don't respond to emails, like management. Taylor's good on that. Yeah, she says
they're
emails,
very sharp. They're very sharp.
But I mean, there are people who are just like, yeah.
Well, look, hey, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, who are we to and tell you what, that you're gonna
flop?
And then
why do you put your email address on
if,
Twitter
if you can't respond to
if
it?
If you're not gonna respond, you're like, yo, and they put the MGT, right? MGGT.
Yeah.
MGT.
Yeah.
But whatever, management.
Management, yeah.
Management.
And then I always find it tricky when it's like at gmail.com. I'm like, at Gmail.
At gmail.com.
Okay. You don't have at Taylor J. You know
no,
I mean?
You know what happens, say most of the emails anyway just link back to Gmail. You're probably safe if you put Gmail.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have space on your regular email.
All right. Yeah. We're gonna have to wrap up, Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a local hater on who definitely gets rid of us like 6 minutes before. Because you know we got MTV Base Sugar episode 8 for today. Yeah, Taylor, just quickly tell everybody where they can get you on social media as per usual. And yeah, what's next?
Okay, guys, you can get me at www.taylorjworld.com. Instagram, Twitter, it's at TaylorJWorld.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, it's facebook.com/TaylorJWorld. The single will be dropping there today, free. Mm. It will only be for sale from next week. So you guys can go download Kotere with me and Uru and DJ Clap.
And it dropped for the first time on No Borders. Shout out to MTV Sugar Down South Radio Drama Series. Episode 8 is dropping now every Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. CliffCentral.com.
Catch us out here.
KF.
Yeah.
We are Dandada Taylor J.
Let's go.
MTVS / 402 / 108 / E.
That's how we do it on South Boy.
Welcome to MTV Sugar Down South. This is my story, Tulu's story. My dad is amazing. My mom left us when I was 3, and since then it's just been the two of us. He works really hard to give us a good life. Lately, I seem to need more than he can give. The truth will kill him, so I pretend everything's okay. Thank you. Wow, it's beautiful.
This dress is for my daughter.
Thank you.
Oh, what a good
one. This dress is actually doing the most. But deep down, I know this moment is a complete lie. Not because it's fake, no. But because I'm showing Papa only one side of me. The side he believes to be true and innocent. The truth is much darker.
Hey, you're right.
It's probably just Kinsani. You know how Kinsani gets sometimes.
Oh, here,
okay.
Man?
Okay.
Let me get the pinok.
Okay.
Hey! Mama, what's that here?
But it wasn't Kinsani. It was Saul. Again. I ignore these calls. Around town, Saul is known as the cheese boy player. Nobody takes him seriously. And when we got together, I thought I could keep it casual. That way nobody gets hurt, right?
Thanks for the lift, mister.
Ah, mister, you can call me Saul.
Okay, bye, Saul.
Wait. When do I see you again?
There's a line.
How long is this line?
It's long, very long. But for you, I might put you in third, fifth place.
Ah, fifth.
Maybe. Why? What can you do for me?
Give me your number.
We chat live and discuss it properly.
Chat live? Really? Chat live? When my Tamagotchi only makes SMSs and takes phone calls.
In this day and age?
Yes. In this day and age. Look, thanks for the food. Now.
Seemed to work in the beginning. I like the stuff Saul bought me. I can't lie. Made life a little sweeter. Is that really wrong to want nice things? I don't think so. My best friend Kenzie didn't really approve.
And he just like gave you all this stuff.
It's got good taste.
I mean, you need to watch out, eh? You know how Saul likes to change his wallpaper, girl.
Look, I know these things don't last forever, but he's getting what he wants. I'm getting what I want.
You say that now.
And now Saul is getting all clingy. Right,
so they say that love changes everything.
There goes my cheese boy calling again. You know he's becoming like Chappies now.
Isn't he working? Like, why is he calling so much?
Why would he need to work? You know he's a daddy can I have most. Every day you should have seen him answering the phone looking all June, July. And then I heard in the background somebody calling him. I think it was his father.
Oh, shame. Like, at his age.
Please, at least he knows how to wear a helmet, unlike somebody I know.
Wow.
I feel like I'm living a twisted double life. This was supposed to be fun. Can't we go back to when I really was Daddy's little angel? When that was truly love.
So long, Anak. What? Why are you going to tell me? And I just wish my home got a so that you guys can have a chat there beside you.
Papa, I'm fine. Do you remember she left us? We don't need her.
I know, but I worry about you, Nana.
Papa, I know boys are trouble. You don't have to worry.
I don't want to.
Eat your food.
Then things with Saul got really creepy, and I felt like I couldn't breathe.
Hello?
Tenuzun ends his bind last time, son. I've been calling and calling and you're not answering.
Sorry, wrong number.
But I never thought it would go where it did.
So you're hurting me!
Hell is like a stranger right now. I can't believe this is happening to me. Help. Someone, please. Help me. When that moment arrives, you need help from the very person you've been hiding from. Will you speak your whole truth? Or will you continue to hide? Papa?
It's the middle of the night and I'm still awake. Where to draw the line between now and daybreak? Cause we're living in disguise, trying to shake it off. Time and time again, I've broken through so many walls. And maybe everything we said, everything we knew had changed and now it's time to think things through.
Tulu has just been raped by Saul. Who should she tell? Hit us up via USSD by texting *134*7714# with your answer. A. Her father. B. The police. C. Kensani. Or D. No one. Terms and conditions apply. MTV Sugar Down South was proudly brought to you by MTV Stayin' Alive Foundation, Positive Action, Children's Investment Fund Foundation, Mari Stopes International, Department of Basic Education South Africa, PEPFAR, USAID, and MTV Base.
That's how we do it on South, boy. That's what they call it on South.
This is CliffCentral.com.